Blog Talk Radio.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله هيا على صلاة هيا على صلاة هيا على الصلاة هيا على الصلاة الله أكبر الله
هذه دعوة تامة والصلاة القائمة آتي ما عمل الوسيلة والفضيلة والدرجة الرفع وبعض مقام مأمون الذي وعده الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن التقويم الحمد لله الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين Dear beloved brothers and sisters, may the peace, mercy and blessings of Allah be on you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. وَجُمُعَ مُبَارَكَ and a blessed day of gathering. أَمَّا بَعْدْ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانُ الرَّجِيمِ بَلْ نَقْذِفُ بِالْحَقَّ عَلَى بَاطِلِ فَيَدْمَغُوهُ فَإِذَا هُوَ زَحِيقُ وَلَّكُمُ الْوَيْلُ مِمَّا تَحْصِفُونَ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. An expression of this 18th verse of the 21st chapter of Surah Al-Anbiya, the chapter of the prophets, an expression of it is, Nay, we hurl the truth against falsehood, and it knocks out its brain. And behold, falsehood does perish. Ah, woe to you for the false things you ascribe to us. Another verse we'd like to add to this. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَقْوَى إِذَا مَسَاهُ طَاعِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ صدق الله العظيم Allah the Mighty is exposing truth and it says surely when those who have the consciousness that Allah would have them whenever a thought of evil from shaitan that deludes them. They think and then they see correctly. Sadaqallah al-Azim, Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. A hadith of Muhammad, peace be upon him, that we read an expression of and add to this as well, is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the prayer which Allah loves the most is the prayer of Dawood. Dawood, we know, is the one who went to war with Goliath, Jalut. The prayer which Allah loves the most is the prayer of Dawood. The fast which Allah loves the most is that of Dawood. He would sleep for half of the night, stand up in prayer for a third of the night, and then sleep for a sixth of the night, and he would fast every other day. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Insha'Allah, bi'iznillah, with the help and the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we'd like to establish this point. And that is thinking with the words of the Quran is the best for our lives in this world. And fasting and other perennial and eternal sacred practices that Allah has prescribed through the ages and that Allah has preserved through the life of the prophets, these are for the perfection of our human life as a way of protection from being deceived by falsehood and as a means of creating the best life that this world has to offer and gaining the blessings of a blessed eternal life when our existence here ends. MashaAllah, inshaAllah, we pray that for us now and in the future. Today is the 33rd part of a subject that began, it may be almost exactly a year ago, inshaAllah. I haven't went back to look. Somewhere very close there too. The science of truth and reality, and this is the 33rd part. I'd like to bring out some of the details of that statement that I just read to you. And that is, be careful not to mute anybody. Okay. Beginning with the first line. Thinking with the words of the Quran is the best for our lives in this world. Alhamdulillah, this day, this Jum'ah, alhamdulillah, is the one just prior to the beginning of Ramadan this year, inshallah, which is likely to begin either Monday or Tuesday. For as far as the new moon, literally, the new moon. I'm talking about the new moon, no moon, the when you can't even see it, but it was born, is either Monday or Tuesday. And so the fast, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, the fast of the month of Ramadan, inshallah, is upon us, which is also one of the reasons I wanted to bring in the hadith regarding Dawood from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of its significance and what the Prophet has to say about it, and also the very significant bearing that it has on the entire subject, maybe even the conclusion of it, inshallah. So, thinking with the words of the Quran is the best for our lives in this world. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. The month of Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed, and we celebrate its coming. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Just when you just think about it, think about how many things people celebrate its coming. You know, America has the 4th of July and so many others, great moments that are celebrated in the history of man. Just go around the world and look at the various cultures and look at their various celebrations and the inaugural celebrations of these things that a given culture deems to be sacred and important and of high significance for the lives of those people. Well, alhamdulillah, for 1.5 billion people or so in the world, Ramadan celebrates the coming into the world of the last revelation from the Lord, cherisher and sustainer of all the worlds. Allahu Akbar. That is, the Quran, he comes and it's a proof of the existence of Allah. The Quran is a proof of the existence of Allah. I'm going to say that again. The Quran is a proof of the existence of Allah. Let me give you a little simple movie reference because I want you to feel the richness of that fact. That movie, Contact, right? That movie, Contact, with Jodie Foster and Matthew McConaughey and what have you. You know, so she was one of the scientists is looking for SETI, signs of extraterrestrial intelligence, SETI. So they all these big satellite dishes pointed out into deep space, looking for some patterned signals that had to be generated by some form of intelligence. Okay, so then something comes, right? And when it comes, they have all their time trying to figure out what it is, et cetera, et cetera. And when they figure it out, then they build it. And after they build it, you know, it doesn't act to the physical eye, in the way that the physical eye of those, quote unquote, on Earth expected a vehicle for space travel to act. It didn't go up. It just dropped into the water beneath its structure. And so, you know, the rest of the story is all about something else. But the point is that was proof of extraterrestrial life in that fictional representation. It's like that was proof. The proof was received. The proof was gained. The proof was had. The proof was followed. And the proof led one, Jodie Foster's character, led one to that truth, led one to that reality. But the rest of the world did not have the direct benefit of that experience, so they didn't affirm or confirm or have the same kind of conviction, of course, that she had because she actually had the experience. The point is that came in became a proof that there's life out there. There's intelligent life out there. I'm using that to help us to appreciate the Quran coming into this world that came through the heart, mind of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the heart more especially. There's the other aspects of it, but Allah revealed it upon his heart. So, and then it was brought into the world, recorded, memorized, etc., and we still have it. We have what the Lord, cherisher and sustainer of all the worlds, revealed as his last direct message in that way to mankind, to serve human beings until the end of time. It's a big deal. So in Ramadan, we are celebrating the coming of the last revelation. And we are to be reminded that every time we look at it, every time we say it, every time we think about it, we are looking at, saying, and thinking about a word from the one who created and the one who sustains all things. And the richness of it is let's call it the second part of that reality. The second part, okay, here it is. Now, what is it? What does it do? How do you benefit from it? See, and until those who receive it engage it according to its nature and its intention, because Allah has and had an intention for it coming into the life of man. And it's the responsibility of the human being to open it up, read it, absorb it, apply it, learn it, remember it, etc., so as to get from it what Allah, by his intention and by his revelation, promises by his will to happen in the world. So, one of the most powerful and the most significant properties of man, human beings, is his ability to think. Those who are the most significant in this world, the ability to think. And when I say in this world, I'm not talking now, oftentimes we say that we think, you know, the Western world and different things like that. No, I mean in three-dimensional space. I mean as Homo sapiens. Our most powerful tool is intellect. This is a part of the series early on, that hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah says, I have not created anything more excellent than you, speaking of that obedient intellect that he created. So its capacity for thought and what thought brings about in the world is most significant. However, the thought itself and the mind of human beings operate upon a principle that we've come to call garbage in and garbage out. Garbage in and garbage out, meaning that, yes, you can think and use those cognitive tools, but the material that you input into your machinery, that is your mind, to think upon, if the material is garbage, the conclusions are going to be garbage. So that most excellent tool needs the most excellent input in order to arrive at the most excellent results. Thus, thinking with the words of the Quran is the best for our lives in the world. It doesn't matter how intelligent and how high an IQ, how capable of reasoning people are in the world. If the content of that and the direction for that IQ and that rationality, etc., is false, garbage, evil, etc., then that's not leading, and it won't lead to the best life. So the celebration of the coming of the Quran into the world and understanding the significance of that beyond ritual is critical. And so these verses of the Quran, we'll read the expression of them, 14, that's Ibrahim, I believe, 14:24-27 helps us deepen our appreciation for that statement. It says, do you not see how Allah sets forth a parable? A goodly word, like a goodly tree, whose root is firmly fixed and its branches reach to the heavens, and it brings forth its fruit at all times by the leave of its Lord. So Allah sets forth parables for men in order that they may receive admonition. And the parable of an evil word is that of an evil tree. It is torn up by the roots from the surface of the earth. It has no stability. Allah will establish in strength those who believe with the word that stands firm in this world and in the hereafter. But Allah will leave to stray those who do wrong. Allah does what He wills. Sadaqallah al-Azim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So, thinking is the most useful function for us in this world. But thinking requires the right input to be thought upon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us a book full of material to shape and guide our thinking, so that our thinking will be the most effective thinking in the world. In the world, understand this, anthropologically, biologically, human beings, one scientist puts it, the reason that we have the cranial size that we have, the brain size that we have, is because of what he calls a cognitive arms race. A cognitive arms race. What do you mean a cognitive? Like you have a nuclear arms race, meaning that everybody's trying to build a bigger bomb. Well, human beings, if you haven't recognized it here, but you should have recognized it certainly in the 20th century. The 20th century is the bloodiest century in human history. The 20th century, the one we just came out of. So man hasn't always been a friend to all men everywhere. Indeed, we all, in various ways, human beings, fought each other, tribe against tribe, and as it evolved, nation against nation, and et cetera, to each one seeking to dominate the other one. But that was a battle that was not grounded exclusively or especially in physical prowess and physical might. Those battles evolved to the place where you can have the physical might, but if you didn't have the right thinking, strategy, etc., the ability to consider what your enemy is thinking, how they're thinking, and what they're using as a power against you, and what is the nature of their power, and what therefore is their weakness. If you couldn't figure that out, well, then you're going to wind up being their slaves, their captives. You're going to be brought under their sway and power because you couldn't outthink them. It wasn't just the matter of physical might. I mean, I think about it, you look at that history, you look at what Japan did to China. Just go back and look at that history, Japan. Okay, look at the size of China and look at the size of Japan. And look at what the Japanese did to the Chinese in the history of their conflict. Okay, so size doesn't matter from a physical perspective if the brain and the strategy of the one is superior to the bigger opposition, but they don't have the right strategy. That is literally the David and Goliath paradigm or scenario. Goliath much bigger than David. And God gives what I just said, Allah gives us that in the Quran, in that lead up to David's battle with Goliath, because the believers who crossed over that stream and weren't undone by it, by drinking from it, they said, how often has God vanquished a large force with a small force? See, now when you bring your brain into it, bring your intellect into it, you don't just think in terms of physical numbers as being the force. Of course, that's the first place you're going to go. But it's not the size per se, but it is the strategy that it seems like a small thing, but that small thing is a big thing when your opposition is depending on something that they are considering as being bigger and having more might, etc., and they fail to understand that there's some leverage in what's coming against you that you don't understand. And so what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done for the believer, He has given them fuel for that most powerful organ and most important organ, whereby if they feed upon it, the Quran, feed upon the Quran, use the Quran as the food for their thought, then they are going to have a mind, quote unquote, that is effectively bigger than the other minds. They won't be small-minded. They will have the capacity to hold bigger ideas and more powerful ideas, ideas that have more gravity, ideas that have more weight, ideas that have more force. And that's what's in the Quran. There is a universe in the Quran. And when we take the Quran inside and those ideas are given place in our thinking, that's where great power is. So we say again, the Quran, the thinking with the words of the Quran is the best for our lives in this world. And so Allah says it in 27 of 14, where it says, He, Allah, will establish in strength those who believe. You come to the Quran with faith. You come to the Quran with belief. You come to the Quran recognizing this book is from the Lord, cherisher and sustainer of all the worlds. And I don't care how smart anybody thinks they are from an IQ perspective, what have you. It's like, no, if you come to that, if you come to this book without faith, you're not getting out of it what's in it. You're not getting out of it what's in it. It says, none but the purified shall touch it. What has to be purified? Your thinking has to be purified. Your intention has to be purified. Your motivation has to be purified. And when we come as servants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, intending to serve Allah with what He blesses us with from the Quran, then alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and if you are grateful, I will give you more. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So this blessed month of Ramadan is a time where, hey, you can store it up. You talk about investments. Invest in reading the Quran, seeking what Allah has in it for you. And you will, by the grace of Allah, by the permission of Allah, by the mercy of Allah, you will leave the month of Ramadan, and even your reading, whatever that setting might be, you will leave it with more than you came with because of your faith. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He will establish with strength those who believe, establish in strength those who believe. How is He going to do it? With a word, with the word that stands firm in this world, meaning you want something solid that you can rest your life upon. It is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's that word that He sent into the world and that we receive now in the form of a book. That word is firm in this world and in the life that comes after this life. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. But Allah, He says in the final part of 27 of chapter 14, but Allah, He says, He will leave to stray those who do wrong, and Allah does what He wills. Can you feel the power of Allah? I know in Christian language, you get the God is no respecter of persons. That's not our favorite language. It's not our language per se. But you understand the gist of it. God is no respecter of person. It's just like Hajj, for example. You know, with Hajj, when you go to Hajj, you can't wear your crown if you're the king. You can't wear your badge if you're the chief of police. You know, you can't wear your ribbons if you're an army colonel, general, whatever. No. Put on the same thing everybody else puts on. And do the same thing that everybody else does. And don't you argue, and don't you wrangle, and don't you think you guarantee the front row seat to whatever. No, you're just one among a billion. Well, that's how it is with Allah. That is our understanding of Allah is no respecter of persons. So, give it up, brother and sister. Allah, if you do wrong, Allah will not guide those. He said he will leave you astray. And this straying is that wandering and wondering. MashaAllah. And he says, and Allah does what he wills. Sometimes we think if we cry enough when we're praying, or if we moan enough when we sit and reflect on God, God, why me? How come I'm going through this? If we wail and shout enough, then maybe we can make God do something. No. Allah does what he wills. Allah does what he wills. He may answer, he may not answer. But Allah says always, he says that, and they ask thee concerning me. Allah says, tell him, I'm always near. Allah is always near and listening. So Ramadan celebrates the coming of the Quran into the world. Another part of our statement is that fasting and the other perennial and eternal sacred practices that Allah has prescribed through the ages and are preserved in the scriptures through the lives of the prophets are for the perfection of our human life. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. One of the verses that we often use to open the khutbah, which is said to be the last of the revelations to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinukum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mat wa raditu lakum al-islam ad-din. Sadaqallahu al-azim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-yawma akmaltu, this day have I perfected for you. This is to the ones who've been blessed to receive the Quran and their hearts are sincere to it, the revelation and the acceptance of al-Islam. Al-yawma akmal, this day have I perfected for you your way of life. You don't have to have, you don't need big long books of philosophy, big long books of political science, economic science. Those things can come out when you try to detail for your particular people what they need. That's fine, but that's not what you start with. You start with the precepts and those established truths that Allah reveals in the Quran. And it's perfect for your way of life. Deen is everything in life. I have perfected for you everything you need in your life. I akmaltu lakum, for you, I've done it for you. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mat, and I have completed. You know, sometimes somebody say, kayf al-hal? Say, how are things? What's your condition? One of the responses is, kulli shayin tamam. Kulli shayin tamam. What does it mean? Everything is perfect. Alhamdulillah, everything is perfect. Kulli shayin tamam. Allah says, wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mat. Allahu Akbar. It says, and I have perfected my favor upon you. Atmamtu alaykum ni'mat. My graces. My graces. There were no Rolls Royces there when his revelation came. There were no, you know, 10,000 square foot mansions. There were no islands owned. There were no vaults filled with gold among the Muslims. At this time, there was not even political hegemony in the world for Muslims at that time. So the things that are deemed to be the highest in the world, Muslims in so many ways didn't have those outward elements that would, if you looked at this statement purely from that perspective, you would expect them to have. No. Allah said, what I have given you in this Quran and with the life model of Prophet Muhammad that has been lived out in front of you and all the precepts and the content in that revelation that is now complete, I have given you everything you need for your life. And I have given you a perfect, if you were to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we say, Allah said, if you were to ask me for what you thought was the perfect favor, it wouldn't be, it wouldn't be fit. It wouldn't be fit. It wouldn't be near perfect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I have perfected my graces upon you. And what is it all? It's all summed up in what? وَرَدِيتُ لَقُمَ الْإِسْلَامَ الدِّينِ And I am happy for you to have al-Islam as your way of life. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. It's like, Allahu Akbar. So you have, what else is there to look for? See, and if you don't have a sense of that, if you don't have a sense, I mean a sense of that, if that's like, I don't know, my head. You must be new to al-Islam, or you must not be as open to al-Islam as you believe yourself to be. Because the only thing left to do is to get into it. Get into it. Get into what? The way of life that is the Islamic way of life. And I know there's a lot of different ways that people are representing that, but if you keep yourself to the Quran and what Allah has revealed, yes, you do have to learn how to read it in its original language. So nobody has to filter it for you. Nobody has to screen it for you. Nobody has to spoon feed you with it. You can read it yourself and with your own heart, your own spirit, and with the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will be able to live that life in this world according to what your needs are. Because what's a favor to you in the particular might not be a favor to me. What's a blessing to you in the particular may not be a blessing to me. An understanding that you need from the verses of the Quran may not be the understanding that I need or that I receive from that same verse, and vice versa. That's life. So Allah has done this favor, completed this favor upon each and every one of us, and every one of us who reads this book, we are reading a book that's peculiar to each one of us. There are as many Qur'ans, if you're understanding what I'm saying, there are as many Qur'ans as there are Muslims and people, for that matter. There are as many Qur'ans. Because you come with who you are and what you are, and you bring to it what you bring to it. And it responds to you according to who you are and what you are and what you bring to it. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. That is Allah's grace and mercy. So we see in the lives of the prophets, peace be upon him, upon them all, Allah has in each era, in each period, in each one, as the hadith says, that the likeness of the prophets is like one man who built the building. Each one brings something, and they, a person goes around the structure and says how perfect it would be, how perfect it is in its beauty and its symmetry, and how much more, how perfect it would be were it but for the absence of that one brick. There's one brick missing. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am that brick. So then that's the perfection of it. That's the completion of it. The completion and the perfection of that structure comes with the Prophet. But each one of the Prophets brought something to the project. And the Prophet brought the last. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And so Dawood, he also is a model for attributes and qualities that, which if lived out, would lead to the beautiful, wonderful type of life that his life represents. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب آمين اللهم آمين الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله So the prophet said, peace be upon him, the prayer which Allah loves the most is the prayer of David, and the fast which Allah loves the most is that of David. He would sleep half of the night and stand up in prayer for a third and then sleep for a sixth. He would fast every other day. So what is the connection between the science of truth and reality and the eternal battle of human beings against falsehood? What is their connection with Daud? Peace be upon him. It connects through the verse that we opened with. بَلْ نَقْزِفُ بِالْحَقِّ عَلَى بَاطِلِ فَيَدْمَغُوهُ فَإِذَا هُوَ زَحِيقًا وَلَّكُمُ الْوَيْلُ مِمَّا تَحْسِفُونَ صدق الله العظيم. Nay, we hurl the truth against falsehood and it knocks out its brain. Behold, falsehood doth perish, and Allah and woe to you for the false things that you ascribe to Allah. The Prophet's hadith says, narrated by Abu Huraira, it says, I heard Allah's apostle saying, I have been sent with Jawami al-Kalam, which is the shortest expression carrying the widest of meanings, meaning that I give you short expressions, but they have wide meanings. And it goes on. And I was made victorious with awe, meaning fear being cast into the hearts of his enemies. And while I was sleeping, the keys of the treasures of the earth were brought to me and were put in my hand. Muhammad said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jawami al-Kalam means that Allah expresses in one or two statements or thereabouts the numerous matters that used to be written in the books revealed before the coming of the Prophet. So one part of that, of course, is the Quran. The Quran is Jawami al-Kalam in that the Prophet received it, and it is a book that says in short words, short sentences, short verses, what it took volumes in previous revelation to bring, not just to speak of the philosophers and the seers and the others that came before the Prophet's time, took volumes, and the Quran concisely makes expressions of those things that would otherwise take volumes. And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have been given the Quran and something like it, and something like it. So the Prophet's words also function in the same way. So what is the significance of this? Let's go back to that hadith of Daud, where it says, the Prophet, peace be upon him, he says, speaking of Daud's fast, he said, he would sleep, or his prayer for that matter, or his way of being in actuality. The fast is the last part. So he's speaking about his way of worship. He would sleep half of the night, stand up in prayer for a third of the night, and then sleep for a sixth of the night. Now, if I threw up three choices, and you don't have the benefit of using calculators or anything like that, I ask you right now, and you answer for yourself, right? So is one half, one third, and one sixth, is that equal to one? Is that equal to less than one, or is that equal to more than one? If I have one half, one third, and one sixth. Is that less than, more than, or is it a whole? Right? There are going to be different answers. I doubt that everybody could get the right answer. I think intuitively meaning coming right at it, just you hear it for the first time and somebody presses you for an answer, I think most of us would not be sure at all. We would have said, oh, no, it seems like it's more. No, it seems like it's less. Then somebody said, well, it's one, right? Well, how are you going to know that? And think about who he's talking to. He's talking to, like, the debate that's coming. Expect it to come. It comes every year, Ramadan. It comes every year. Was there a Hillel? Is there not a Hillel? Are we going to do it by calculation? Are we not going to do it by calculation? Okay. That debate goes on. Alhamdulillah. Keeps you thinking. MashaAllah. Don't lose your iman behind it. MashaAllah. Take a breath and move on. Because that day, that night is going to be over at some point in time. And Ramadan is going to be over at some point in time. So don't get over-exercised. It will be what Allah decides, and mashallah, and all will be peace. Okay? Inshallah. All right. Now, but one of the arguments goes that the prophet, the people of the Arabs were not a people of calculation. They were not a people of calculation. We didn't do numbers, quote unquote. I'm putting myself in that group. We didn't do numbers. So when the prophet says one half, one third, one sixth, to people like that, if given that that's true, well then what was he actually telling them? And what did they actually take from that? What does that mean? Well, alhamdulillah, now you have to bring your thinking to it to get a sense of what it means. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I have been given the Quran and something like it. And what that means is, as is stated about the Quran, it will be among the three that is at the throne in the judgment. And one of those three is the Quran that has its implicit and explicit meanings. And the Prophet said, I've been given the Quran. Yes, that is Jawamil Kalim, but also I've been given something like it. I've been able to say in few words something that would take volumes also to say. So what about this one half, one third, one sixth? You have to go to the decimal system to get the answer. Was the decimal system existing at the time of the prophet? I'm not sure. I don't think so. That's not me knowing, but I certainly know that the Arabs that he was talking to didn't know it. Okay. So what's one half? 0.50. What's one third? You can say 0.33. No, you got to add the next three. It's continuous. 0.333. All right, well, what's one-sixth? If you go short, you're going to say 0.16. No, too short. You got to go 0.167. 167. So now when you add 0.50, 0.333, and 0.167, what do you get? One. It's one. Now, what kind of brain did the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have to make a statement like that? And you're going to think that there's no wisdom in that? There's no wisdom? There's no... He just said the number. Really? No, you know that. We don't have time. We're going to keep going. The point is that it comes out to be one. One. So furthering its connection with Daoud, it connects spiritually and metaphysically to Daoud in his victory over Goliath, which is representing in universal and abstract language what's stated in 21:18. 21:18 is that core verse. Allah projects the truth against falsehood. He throws truth against falsehood and knocks out his brain, etc. So that is a representation of that, because how many stones did Daoud need in order to knock out Goliath? Just one. Let me read you a little something from the previous scripture. 1 Samuel 17:37-40 gives it all, but I'm just going to read a little bit from it. So Saul said to David, Saul is Talut in the Quran. See, we don't get the details in the Quran about certain things. Well, these are some details that are significant for us as well, and Allah knows best. So it says, so Saul said to David, go to the Lord. Now, for those of you out here, the Lord, you're talking about Jesus. Really? Jesus wasn't around at that time. Okay? And in any case, when it says the Lord, we know that's not the case, but I have to cover that because of who we're talking to. The 17th chapter and the 110th verse, it says, call on Allah or call upon Rahman. By whatever name you call upon him, it is well. For to him belong the most beautiful name. So we know at this time, Dawood, who is one of our prophets, one of God's prophets, we know that his Lord was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no question about it. And those that he was fighting against in this representation were those who were not worshipers of Allah, who was missioning Dawood and had missioned Talut or Saul. That was 37. 38, then Saul dressed David in his own tunic, meaning gave him this jacket or whatever to wear, and then he put his coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head, and David fastened his sword over this tunic, and then he tried to walk around. David, now you know David was a boy, so he tried to walk around in all his armor that he had. And because he wasn't used to them, he said, I can't go with this. I can't go in these. I can't use these. So he said to Saul that, no, I can't use these. And so he took them off. Dawood took them off. And then he took his staff in his hand, real critical stuff. He took his staff in his hand. Let me go ahead and say it. We spent so much time on the significance of the rod of Moses. So the staff is actually a symbol of brain and nervous system. It's a symbol of brain and nervous system. We went through another series on that whole thing. And the distinction of that is also critical. If you take the time to go look further in when Dawood spoke back to Goliath for mocking and acting against the Lord of the children of Israel, and he talked to him about the things that he brought, and the staff wasn't one of them. He had spears, javelin, sword, I think those three things, those were the things that Goliath brought. But you're told in advance here that what David brought, the first thing he grabbed was his staff. And then David said, you're coming at me with a javelin, with a spear, and with a sword, right? Well, what's the difference? The difference is that the illusion for us is that he came with his brain. He came with his intellect. He came with the consciousness that Allah would have him come with. But moving on from that, he said, and he chose five smooth stones from the stream. We can't take all the time to cover all of this, but the five smooth stones, they relate to so many things. I'll just hit them and move very briskly. The stream, spiritual. The stone, logical. The streams from the stone, they've been made smooth because of the stream, right? And that smoothness of the rock is speaking of spiritual logic. And we talk about the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you understand the masdar of that sunnah, you will also find in it the meaning of spiritual logic. The meaning of spiritual logic. So the point is that he took five smooth stones, and for us, it's the spiritual logic of the five pillars of Al-Islam. The five pillars of Al-Islam, these practices. And also, we're not going into the full history of all of this, but also you remember that in the story of the Quran, there were those who were tested at the stream. This is what they were told. They were told, you're going to be tested at the stream, and anybody who drinks of it goes not with me, but a sip out of the hand will be excused. And when they got to the stream, that test, that trial, that would otherwise be a purification for them, all of them drank except the few. But those who got over, when they got over that, they had an empowerment that those who dropped out didn't have. But at the same time, those that didn't have the next stage of development, when they saw Goliath, they said, oh, no, we can't deal with it. Even though they got over the stream, when they saw what they were actually faced with, they couldn't deal with it. But then the ones who got it, who understood it, they applied the spiritual logic to strengthen themselves by saying, how often has God, by a small force, vanquished a large force? What is that? That's reasoning. That's thinking. That's logic. That's spiritual logic. That's a logic based on the foundation that God is God, God is real, God's truth is reality, and God's truth is what creates and who repeats. Huh? And this is not the first time this has happened. The believers understand. This is not the first time this happened. This has happened before. Well, Daoud took five smooth stones out of that very stream, and he's coming now with that strong spiritual logic. And then what happens? And this means to us, and this, one of the things it should mean for us, is that when you master the metaphysics of what opposes you, then you can use that metaphysical understanding to defeat it. When you have the metaphysical understanding, we detailed on all that, don't get scared. Oh, what are you talking about, metaphysical? Islam don't believe in metaphysics. Come on. Come on. There's the physical and there's the metaphysical, right? Gravity, mathematics, abstract composites, things that exist in the world that make the world operate the way that it operates, but it carries no weight. But I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to go into that right now. The point is, This is the fact. How oft has God, by a small force, vanquished a large force? How big do you think a boson is? Let's go with that. A boson. Subatomic particles. Subatomic particles. How big do you think they are? And how much power, force, energy do you think is in one photon? One photon. It's not calculable. Now, hey, what did they drop on Nagasaki and Hiroshima? What did they drop? What is it called? What is it called? Was it called a building bomb? Okay, was it called an airplane bomb? What is it called? A boulder bomb? It was called an atom. An atom. It didn't say an atoms bomb. It was an atom bomb. How often has God, with a small force, vanquished a large force? What power is that? That's metaphysical. It has a physical. But the point is that the principle behind it is not concrete. But let's move on. So Daoud taking five smooth stones from there is a statement of someone who has reached the perfection of the spiritual logic and knows how to undo his enemy with it and not be undone by the enemy. Those who drank from the stream, they got the shar, they got the fear, they got the anxiety, they got the doubt. But those who got over that aspect of themselves and understood it as a source of weakness, if you don't stick with faith and keep moving and keep thinking, they get defeated. But the Dawoods of the world are those who understand the metaphysical strength and weakness of their enemies, and thereby they can defeat it. And so many other things, those five in the stream of the fish that was lost when Musa went looking for Abraham. I'm mentioning looking for the wise man. I'm mentioning this because, and I know we're running a little bit long, you'll soon know why. The search, when Musa went for the search, and his attendant was carrying the fish, and they were looking for the place where the two rivers meet, and then they went far behind, and then when Moses took his rest upon the rock, and he asked his attendant to bring him the fish, and the fish told him, the fish got away. And it went straight through a channel in this water. And Moses said, that's the place we're looking for. What place are you looking for? You're looking for the place where the two rivers meet. What? Spiritual and logical. Where the spiritual and the logical. Where the physical and the metaphysical. Where these things that would otherwise, that are put into conflict with each other, where they meet. is where the reconciliation, where the truth, where the inspiration is to be found. And the fish went straight in the channel. And so, again, speaking to that spiritual life, these are references, we say, and Allah knows best, of the source of the five smooth stones that Dawood brought. And finally, for that connection, where it says, the Prophet asked, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, if a man had flowing in front of his door a stream, and he bathed in it five times a day, would there be any uncleanness on him? Said, no, he would be perfectly clean. So then this is also speaking of Salat, of course. And so the five is the five daily prayers, the five pillars of al-Islam, the five senses purified, the five having to do with the spiritual lodging and everything that goes with it. That's what Dawood came to battle with. And who is Dawood? Dawood is the love of God. When you love Allah completely, fully, with the purity of intention and motivation, and you are a thinker. So much to be said about Dawood and Suleiman, and that will come at another time, inshallah. But the point is that he also put them in his shepherd's pouch, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. And the verse goes on, and this will be the end of our reference from the Bible, where it says, and it came to pass, when the Philistine arose, speaking of Goliath, and came and drew nigh to meet Dawood, we say Dawood, it's David in the Bible, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And Dawood put his hand in his bag, and he took out of it one stone, and he slang it, and he smote the Philistine in his forehead, and that stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face on the earth. This is 1 Samuel 17:48-49. So he didn't need all of those stones. How many stones? He only needed one. He only needed one stone. He didn't need number two, number three, number four, number five. All he needed was one. And he hit him in the forehead with that one stone. And that was the end of it. Allah casts the truth against falsehood and knocks out his brain. Goliath is a symbol, a representation of all lies, all falsehood, all delusions, all illusions, all those being cast. What's coming to mind is that old 1984 introductory commercial that Apple came with. Against 1984, they had this woman running in there. Everybody is all grayed out or what have you, all uniform and under the hypnotic spell and the illusion cast by Big Brother. And she comes in with this hammer, you know, like in the Olympics hammer, and swing it, boom, and crashed that was casting the illusion over the people and busted it open. Well, that's how Allah. And that's how Dawood cast the truth against the source of the delusion, the source of the lie, the source of the falsehood, and put an end to it. And that's what happens when the truth comes. So the one of this hadith of Dawood is Tawheed. It is the beginning of our series. We started with Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayatul Kursi, beginning with Allahu la ilaha illahu, all the way to the end. We went through the Tawood, and we went through what the science and the role of science in dispelling that, and now here we are at one again. It only took one stone to hit Goliath in the forehead and sink into his forehead and end him. It is that force of the spiritual logic of faith in Allah, at-tawheed with aqeedah, meaning you say you believe in Allah, but check and make sure that you're believing in Allah who revealed the Quran, Allah who sent Muhammad, Allah who gave us the way of life, al-Islam, and demonstrated its perfect practice in the life and through the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make sure that that is the Allah, and make sure that you don't be among those who are saying that you are practicing al-Islam when in fact you have incorporated so many things that Allah did not reveal in the Quran and that Allah did not model in the life example of Prophet Muhammad and that Allah has not ordered for us. When we don't do that, then we fail to get the promise that Allah has made, and Allah never fails in His promise. So, mashallah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. We'll end this series at this time with this connection. As it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. All things in existence, they begin with Allah, and they end with Allah, and His word is the truth and the reality. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Oh Allah, we thank you for all that you have blessed us with. We thank you for the things that we know. We thank you for the things that we don't know of your blessings. We thank you for the forgiveness that you have given us that we know, and we thank you for the forgiveness that you have given us that we don't know. Oh Allah, we thank you for the blessings of those things that you have blessed us to understand, and we pray to you for greater and deeper understanding. And we beg of you this understanding so that we can serve you more in this world, so that we can seek continually to make this world bear the impress and to express what it is that you want for the life of human beings in the life of the world. We beg this of you only for none can grant or withhold this but you. O Allah, enlighten us, protect us from the wiles of Shaitan. Bless us not to follow in the footsteps of Shaitan. Bless us not to be deceived by this world. And bless us not to allow the chief deceiver to deceive us about you. O Allah, without your help, we are helpless. Without your power and grace and mercy, we are without benefit. We are without life. We are without hope. O Allah, bless us to always lean on your will for our existence. We beg this of you only for none can grant or withhold this but you. As we enter into the sacred month of Ramadan, O Allah, make this Ramadan a special Ramadan for us. Bless us to grow more than we have ever grown in any of the prior Ramadans. Bless us to understand the appropriate balance and the appropriate approach in order to get the fullest possible benefit of this sacred month of ours and this sacred month that you have made sacred for us, and bless us to hold it in the level of sanctity that you would have us. Bless us to emulate the best of the practices of al-Islam, the best of those practices that have been modeled for us by your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu, your messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We beg this of you only for none can grant or withhold this but you. Ameen, Allahumma ameen. Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum, Imam Fahim Shawad, Mark Shahi from the STL. We can't hear you. I don't know if you're on mute or what.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, thank you so much. Wow.
Yeah.
Stay right there. Let me go back to this wonderful time
okay.
I was having by myself saying a whole lot of things.
Talking to yourself, right?
I'm just talking to myself, right? I'm thinking, I'm coming through. Alhamdulillah, thank you so much. But let me go ahead and let me say what I said. Okay, so then that means that I was muted on all my announcements because I just unmuted. Moving right along. Thank you very much, Brother Mark. Let me make these comments that we're going to take care of, okay? What I was mentioning about today, first let's get clear on today. Today is going to be an all Blog Talk broadcast day, and today is going to be, it'll only be comprised of the comments and the questions that are made by you who chime in. Push one on your phone, have your comments. And that's going to be our broadcast day this morning. And we're not going to do Facebook. We're all going to be here. Now, the other thing that, so if you have intent to make a comment, push one now. I'll end it right there. But I was saying also about Daiya's voice, Daiya Taha, who is the one with the independence and the deadly deceiver and truly free and all the rest of that. I was just thinking about how beautiful her voice is. She just has a beautiful voice, and we think about what a grace it is, what a blessing it is, a gift to her, but it's also a gift to us. And she's just one voice and one kind of sound that can be made from a human voice. And then when you move your thinking to, well, what about the sounds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not even allowed to come into this space, so this space doesn't accommodate, but thinking about celestial sounds, the sounds of the angels that Allah has created. And I've read things about colors, you know, those seeing colors that are not like any colors that we've seen in this world. And I'm just reminded about how the Prophet, peace be upon him, says that, and I believe Quran says the same, that the eye hasn't seen, the ear hasn't heard, and it hasn't entered into the hearts of the human being to conceive of what Allah has on reserve for his believers. So it's just really, really special. That was the thought I was musing on while I was muted. Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much, Mark. Comment, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, first of all, I want to say assalamu alaikum to you, Imam Fahim Shuaib, and to your very astute listenership. Mark Shaheen from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah, that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost, always. And once again, an excellent, excellent khutbah. And I noted that you said that this would be the end of the science and nature of truth and reality, and it ended on 33. So, of course, you know, I was thinking of our beloved leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Allah Ahu, 33 years of leadership, wonderful leadership for us, and what a blessing he was to all of us. You know, when you were talking about thinking with the Quran is the best for us, it reminded me something that Imam Muhammad said to us several occasions, Dhikr Allahu Akbar, that the thinking and the remembrance of Allah is the greatest. And Imam Muhammad put the punctuation on that, just as you did in the khutbah. He said, it is the greatest for what? For the greatest for getting the best results that we seek in our life, getting the best results. So thinking with the Quran, very, very important. Another thing that came to my mind was that the scholars said there was five things in terms of obligations that we as believers owe to the word of revelation, which the final revelation, which is the Quran. The first of those obligations was to read the Quran. As a side note, reading the Quran in the language in which it was revealed, and, you know, most of us will be, that can read, will be reading reflections of the Quran. And, of course, Imam Muhammad gave us the two best in terms of the Yusuf Ali and Pickthall. And there's others, you know, that they may read, but to read the Quran in the language in which it was revealed. The second obligation, the scholars say, is to believe what we read. Once again, Imam Muhammad said that, you know, when he began reading the Quran, he didn't understand all of it, but he didn't push back upon any of it. He believed everything that was that he read in the Quran. So obviously the third obligation is to understand the Quran. That becomes an obligation upon us to understand the Quran. And Allah blesses whom he pleases with the understanding of the Quran. So the intention and motivation, as you said, it has to be genuine and pure in terms of getting that understanding. And the fourth obligation is the practical application in our personal life of the Quran, the personal application of the Quran in our own personal life. Very, very important. As we look at the Prophet Muhammad, he was Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah, irrefutable, indisputable, that he received the word of revelation, but he was also Rasulullah because of the demonstration of the word of revelation. And then finally, the fifth obligation is to convey the message of the Quran to the world, to others. And so if we look at that in reverse order, we would never be able to fully convey the message of the Quran until we have practically applied the Quran in our own personal life, because it is not only the verbalization but the demonstration of the Quran as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam personified in his life, but we won't be able to personally apply it until we understand the Quran in reverse order. We won't understand until we first believe. And then the first thing that we have to do is to read the Quran. So this becomes the obligation of all believers. And so, you know, and one other thing, I was an A student in math, Imam Fahim Shuan, always throughout school. And even so, in that my algebra teacher used to bring me up to the front of the class to teach the class in terms of algebra, because I could explain it better than him. And as I was listening to you in terms of the hadith, in terms of Da'ud, you know, the one half, the one third, and one sixth, you know, it's easy for me to, you know, to translate to the decimal, to the percentage, but we could have stayed right there, just you know, with the fractional part, and looking at a common denominator for one half, one third, and one sixth. The common denominator would have been six. So one half would be equal to 3/6. And then one third would be equal to 2/6. Then you have 1/6. So if you add 3/6, 2/6, makes 5/6, and 1/6 is 6/6. So when you look at whenever the numerator and the denominator is the same, it's equal to one. I could say more about that, but I'll stop there. Thank you, as always. Excellent. Excellent khutbah. Appreciate you greatly. May Allah bless you and your family and your community with a blessed Ramadan. And to all of the radio listening audience, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. So that's wonderful. I'm going to call him my producer. He brought up that same point right at the end of the Jummah about the fraction. right? Mm-hmm. And I, you know, quote unquote, I, you know, I can say I greatly appreciated and expressed that about.
And brother,
you,
ma'am,
you
also,
know, it's like,
you could have done the percentage. The percentage could have been done the same way. We know one half is 50%, and then we know that one third is 33 1/3. And so then, you know, if you would add that together, you know, that you would come up with 83 1/3, and all you had to do was subtract that from 100%, and then the 1/6 would be equal to 16 2/3, which would give you 100%. See, so that's another way in terms of doing it. So, you know, that's just was my strong. It was my best subject in math, so it's easy. You for me, praise be to Allah, alhamdulillah. I'm not saying it in a boastful way, but, you know, as Imam Muhammad said, confidence is no more than having a rational assessment of your own abilities, and we know that Allah is the one that gives us those abilities. Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. And my producer, he's also a numbers man. I myself also do have a wonderful history in math. So going to the decimals was the preferred route for me. The simplicity in it of the 1 6 2 6 3 6. You got the 1 2 3 that goes with that as well. It's just marvelous. And what I was saying also is that you do have to, in order to even go in that direction, you already have to have some sense of the math. It's sort of like a pronounced capacity, which is demonstrated by my producer, by that remark, and what you just pointed out. And I feel the same. Also, the five that Brother Mark just gave us is also another useful five. It goes on and on and on. Alhamdulillah, so that's very, very valuable, very, very rich and beneficial to us all. Let's go to Zarina.
Yeah,
are you ready?
Wa alaikum assalam. Yes, sir. Wa alaikum assalam.
Okay.
Wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. And that song brought me to tears because
God,
we are truly free by the legacy of Imam Muhammad. And I don't want to start crying now. But, you know, because he... You know, I appreciate you and all the other imams and people that are truly living his legacy, because he truly, if we listen to him, set us free. I was thinking about, you know, just how, you know, in this situation that we're in now with the virus and all of that. And so we're talking to a whole lot of different people and people trying to get to know each other better and all this other stuff. And one of the you know, verses from the Quran that I go to with people is, you know, Surah 49, Ayah 13, where Allah says he made us different, not that, you know, that we should get to know each other. You know, and so, you know, in that, when you think about, you know, even science, it says that we're all, you know, they study the body and they all, you know, take information from each other because we're all made the same. We're no different, you know. So one medicine that might help some disease in a person in China can help a person in America, you know, because the makeup is the same. And then Sister Shahida from Atlanta was gifted us with her presence in our meeting last night, the women's meeting, and she just brought to mind how the companions, when the revelation was being revealed, how they would study it and digest it, and before they would even move on to something else, you know, they would make sure that they had got what had been sent, you know, so they could really understand it, and you know, like the brother was just saying, you know, they got an understanding. At first they was hearing it, and then they believed it, even though they didn't understand it. And then once they understand it, they start applying it, and then they start taking it to the world. And I could just really see, you know, how for us now, you know, and she was putting in reference to the, you know, us reading the Quran this month, and how we need to be really trying to really get an understanding, really reflecting on it and really getting to know it, you know, because I know my own personal experience through these years is I just try to make sure I read, get it all read. But, you know, and alhamdulillah, I feel like I've gotten things from it. I know I have. But to really, really stop and reflect, you know, and to really try to get a real understanding of what's being said and what we need to be, what, you know, Allah is telling us. And then, you know, just being able, like you were saying, you know, it's like we have to have a foundation in which we operate in this world. And so whatever lens we're looking through, it should be, you know, the Quran, and it should be, and for us now, Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, because he helped us to be able to to see through a lot of things that we didn't see, and open up the doors that were closed and so forth. So I just would want to say to all of us that that whatever Allah is inspiring us to do, like you were saying, some things we haven't even seen yet, and some of those things can come through us. You know, we have to believe in ourselves, and we have to believe that Allah is all. If we're asking Him for guidance every day in every prayer, then He's going to guide us. But we can't be afraid to step out and do whatever it is He's guiding us to do, you know, because if it doesn't come, it's going to come, but it could come through us, you know. And if we don't put it out there, then it's going to come through somebody else. So I just encourage all of us to just really, because I just feel this is our time in life, to truly be the best that we can be. And I just pray everyone have a blessed Ramadan. Ramadan Mubarak to everyone. I love everybody, and I pray everybody just, you know, have a blessed and beautiful Ramadan and stay safe.
Alhamdulillah. Shukran. Thank you so much.
Afwan. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, I believe this is Imam Asmar. Did I get it right?
Yes, sir.
Right.
Assalamu alaykum, brother Imam.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah.
What's going on, man?
Oh, man, you know, same old trying to think it through. you know, so anyway, this is a think it through question. And this is the five pillars in relationship to the five stones and the one smooth stone. And it is aimed at Goliath's forehead. Okay. And now, so this is part of the breakdown of the way you broke it down in terms of the symbolism in the in the language. And I think it's a part of the spiritual insight. And my question, one of my main questions is, you made a statement, but I didn't get the full, I got like maybe the middle of the statement, and you said, knowing the metaphysical of their enemy. Okay, and I'm assuming that was reference to Goliath and what Daoud was able to do. So if I'm trying to break it down, probably boils down to Goliath as the culture of the Philistines. And so this So I'm getting the metaphysical of their enemy in relationship mm-hmm. to the culture and the symbolism mm-hmm. of that culture and what this smooth stone that hit him in the head did to the culture.
Yeah.
To knock it down.
Yeah.
And I'm relating it also to Mecca and the Prophet Muhammad coming with the message of Tawheed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. It's the fact that it's a universal. You've heard this word before, but I'm going to bring it up again. It is fractal. It's like my inclination is mashallah, is to, you know, just keep the connection between the science, abstracting it from those images, those symbols, those representations. So Goliath is representing of a universal, and in the particular that you ascribe to it, and correctly so, because it is like algebra was mentioned. So it is one of the variables that can be used, or he is one of the variables that can take on different values, meaning like x in a algebraic equation. You know, X, you have X and Y, et cetera. So X can be anything and Y can be anything. Well, in the example that you're using, you know, like, okay, Jalut or Goliath he's a symbol, and he's a symbol of a universal, which means that he can be switched out. And in order for it to be understood practically, you have to make him something in the real world of human beings. And what you make him in the real world of human beings, what you've made him in the real world of human beings, is the culture. It's the culture. And when you understand the metaphysics of the culture, when you understand the mind that drives and the thinking that drives, and what is the support for the culture as it exists, when you understand its strength and its weakness, then you can go right at it. And that's literally what Haq in the Mazdar sense, Haq, what we call truth and reality, it literally means hitting the mark directly with one shot. That's literally what Haq is, the Mazdar, it means. So fractal just means that, yeah, it applies to Goliath and it applies to culture. And it's just fractal, meaning that it repeats and it can take on different embodiment, and that's why we can interpret, you know, we can extract the same social logic from different parables and different metaphors and different symbols in both the Quran, the Hadith, and the Bible, because of the fact that there is a universal or a paradigm that enables us to say, okay, it doesn't only have to be that; it can also be something else. And being able to switch that out is a, you know, it's a skill set, a developmental ability that, you know, if we continue to study like you do, study the imam and understand his language and say, okay, the imam said this over there and the imam said that over there. Okay, well, which one is it? No, it's not which one is it. It's both of them. It just depends on which frame you're putting on it. Then you say, okay, well, yes, in this frame, it means this. And in that frame, it means that. Both of them are true, right? That's the skill set that you're reflecting and that you're representing. That's the way the imam has taught us. And we just want to keep on, as Zarina is saying, we keep on formalizing our ability to do that. So you're correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So my final conclusion up to modernity, you know, with mm-hmm. this historical progression, a historical progression from even Goliath culture up into this concept that you covered of the caste system, and the same mm-hmm. concept of the smooth stone is applicable. The one smooth stone is applicable even to the caste system.
Absolutely. You're right. You're right. You're right. I don't have anything to add. That is it. Well, the one thing that I would, which is what you said, but I'm just saying the same thing in another way. That means that what will solve the problem of the nature of the caste system, what would put it into it, would be for people to embrace the fact that there is only one God.
Yes.
If you accept that, and that one God made all of us.
Right.
That would be the end of the caste system.
Right. Okay. Okay. My final thing is now part of the caste system that we're under, and which is the most major part. And Imam Muhammad said, fight the schemes of Satan. So now we're saying part of this caste system, which is a major part, is secularism. And as Imam Muhammad puts it, as artificial humanism.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You open up a whole ocean, and we would have to spend time there much longer. We're going to conclude our exchange right now. But I will, just as an example, I'm saying you're on the right track, but that's the nature of it. You know, that's the zamzam of what we're involved with. It's like there's always going to be more flowing, more flowing, more flowing. Alhamdulillah, this is the water. Once you drink it, then you will thirst no more. So it just keeps going. But just as an example, a concrete example in modernity of what you're talking about, you know, artificial humanity that the Imam gave us 40 years ago, more than 40 years ago. So he's so far ahead, light years ahead. But now you can see the artificial humanity, right? Artificial humanism.
Right.
So we just, the America and the White House, et cetera, just celebrated Open Trans Day or something like that. I don't know. It was something about Trans Day, right? So it's like, let's celebrate that, right? And I didn't get into it. I'm not trying to get into it, but I am gonna mention it. This dude, Lil Nas X. I mean, that is just the sign of some of the insanity of the artificial humanism that this world is gonna keep. I got to use a bigger word now. Transmogrifying is gonna keep becoming monstrous. With inshallah, we pray Allah blesses us to throw the stone in the right place. But that is where it is. It is. We do have to fight against the schemes of Shaitan, which are rested upon artificial humanity and upon the false ideas about Allah Himself. Those fundamentals of Al-Islam, those are our weapons. That is our power. That is our mission. That's what we have to strengthen ourselves in, wherever we are. Don't wait. You don't have to pile up with everybody. Come on, all of us, let's go. Let's get it. No, fight where you are. You fight where you are with whatever you have the opportunity to fight. The decentralized force is the most powerful force. So thank you, Imam, as always. Appreciate it.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Talk to you again sometime.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah.
All right, my brother Imam Nazim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, brother Imam, and listening audience. We had quite a storehouse of applications of what you were saying. I'm going to keep my brief and short, inshallah.
Inshallah.
I want to mention something because you were right there with what I was thinking when you made that observation about artificial humanism. I didn't quite see that, but I did see the tragedy of the situation and how it's being blown up, overlooking that it could have possibly been avoided, and that's the untimely death of our brother, or the brother, DMX. Very much a tortured soul when you read his history. But going back to what you said, if he had truly been able to turn to the Word of God and apply it to a situation that moved him from very simply being born, not being asked to be born, and then the complexity of being born to a woman who was only X amount of years old, and who had a father that was younger than the mother who brought him into the world. His deck was already stacked, and he needed all the light he could on the situation that he found himself in, and obviously he didn't. It got darker, and he turned to more darkness. It got darker, he turned to more darkness, and so he's not with us now here at 50. And to say, I said all that to say that that's what you were saying to me when you said keeping the balance. It's not just keeping the balance. It's keeping you the balance so you won't go to extremes in either way, to the right or to the left. And that
that's
way
right.
You have avoided some of the challenges or your misperception of how you met that challenge. Because he thought, you know, based on what his belief system told him, that he could call on God and that God had called him to the pulpit and whatever. So he felt very comfortable delivering his message, not just being a messenger of the message. And once again, like I said, we get an example that doesn't lead true to form, because it should tell you in a simple way what to do and what not to do, how to be and how not to be, like you were saying, because it's practical. And then you apply it to your own self where you're at, and it works out. And once again, like I said before, you look at that same thing that I just got through saying, you see that the complexity, as it moves from simple to complex, will take you out if you don't have the tools and the skill set, like you were saying, and also the balance that you need won't be there to be available, and you'll be driven to an extreme because they'll put you on a diet that won't allow you to check your appetite as you move forward. So that was kind of my little take of things that I saw and observed, and the things that I'm applying to get through this thing, because it's not an easy task. It challenges you at every juncture. If you're not careful, you'll do what they said in that world. You'll believe the hype.
Yeah. That's really something. You know, a lot to be said, and you said a lot. One thing, I remember this, I'm sure you know, because one of your skill sets is also looking at the profiles and histories of individuals. What is his name? Michael Hoffman. I'm missing a letter. There's a letter in his name. Guy that played one of the characters in one of those Mission Impossible, where he was the bad guy in the mission in one of those Tom Cruise Mission Impossible series. His name, I know Michael Hoffman is a part of his name. I don't know the rest of it. But the point is that he didn't want his children raised in Hollywood. That was one thing. He didn't want his children raised in Hollywood. I think he actually left it in a will, left it in his will or whatever. But he also, he died as a part of that whole, I don't know if it was suicide or whatever. But in any case, you know, there was drugs involved. And so many others, I mean, we lost, quote unquote, we'll call it loss. We lost Prince, we lost Michael Jackson, and, you know, even the Marvin Gaye scenario, you know, was tied up with drugs in some kind of way. And so many other deaths, you know, River Phoenix and John Belushi and the other beautiful voice, Whitney Houston. And you know, and so many others, and a big part of it was Tupac. You know, I mean, Tupac. Well, of course, we know there were other things involved with that, but it had to do with the world. It had to do with a celebrity. It had to do with the culture around that very thing. But what I'm trying to get to is the idea of celebrity is unnatural for human beings. Celebrity is unnatural for human beings. And depending on which world, so when you look at the hip hop, quote unquote, the hip hop culture, and really, really it's like it's just so many. Just you do not see the shaitan, and the amala shaitan in that aspect of it. An easy analogy that you and I, you know, we talked about before, the role that music played, and then now when you look at music and you look at the contribution, the khair of music that it can make to us, but then also when shaitan gets his hand on it, the whole industry itself and the content itself. And again, what's going back to mentioning Little Nas X as an example, that when the shaitan gets it, then he takes that thing that could be otherwise good and useful, and he flips it like the Pied Piper into a tool to distract and destroy people. So the machine that makes celebrities idols, as they call them, you know, he's somebody, so-and-so is a teen idol and so-and-so is a star and all of that, it's like that there's a poison, there's a blender, there's a buzzsaw that just chews people up that get into it. And the wise ones that you may find out about say, no, I'm out, I'm gone, I'm not being a part of that, I'm done. You know, he said, but they were good stars, but they also saw the jaws of the beast in that and said, no, I'm out, I'm done. And that's what happens with, and those of us, Bilalians, to say, you know, with, again, with the kind of history that a David Ruffin, for example, has, mm-hmm. or a Richard Pryor has, and like you just mentioned about DMX, it's sort of like, you know, when you start getting faced with, I was listening to an interview with Mystical a little while. I found it a very entertaining interview, DJ Vlad, with him. But all of this says is that when somebody shows you, you know, more money than you have ever imagined, and then I think about, you know, some of the videos that, you know, that get you excited, you know, the stop, drop, shut them down, open up shop, you know, and then when you see the video that goes with that, and you're surrounded by these hordes of people, and you're the center of attention, and you got all these images of power. It's like, now you talk about intoxication. And then the one who put you in that environment, who made that platform possible for you, and then you lose that platform, you don't have that platform here, because all you are is the flavor of the month, all of them. All you are is the flavor of the month. And the kinds of things you have to try to do to quote-unquote stay relevant, stay on top, stay there. It's like you just circle the drain until we get to circumstances like this. I know I said a lot. I'm going to give you your feedback, and then I think we're about ready to sign off. No, I see one other comment here. Any feedback on that, and then I'm going to go.
Yeah, just Brother Imam, I mean, everything you said rings true, and I do study the world out there, the celebrity world, and one that has lasted and she's still around is Madonna. And she's doing, you know, she's doing right, making a story. And on the, but one of the things that she did lately was just, you know, show her breasts and, you know, put on a little thing. And after she got so many negative comments about what she was doing, how she was doing, what she shouldn't be doing, she said, how come I got to explain everything?
Yeah, you're spoiling the trick.
Right,
you have
right.
to explain everything.
right. You know,
yeah,
but I'm thinking about what you said, that when Allah shows us with revealing the month of Ramadan, revealing that promise that we've been asking for, so he explains everything. You know? So I was
thinking,
when we come around doing it, all that big weight falls on our shoulders. We exclaim, how come I got to explain? So that's why you come. It is a bigger burden than we really want to bear.
Alhamdulillah. All right, ma'am. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Blessed Ramadan to you and all. Alhamdulillah.
Same to you. Alaykum as-salam.
All right. This is going to be the last comment we're going to take this morning. Naeem, is that you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is me. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Salon.
I got you.
Yeah. Okay. This will be real quick. I'm out here with this giveaway thing. Trying to comment on that, the earlier thing that was coming on is about the 1/6 and the, you know, the prayer at night, the 1/6, 1/3, 1/2. Well, I got a lot of us got that real quick in fractions. That's what I deal with, fractions. But what I think the principle to me of that message is to, because it was given like that, that would make you think for at least a minute, that would make you think. And to me, the principle was just that. It was for people to kind of for a minute think about, you know, what's the meaning what is the meaning? And let me try to figure that whole thing out. So to me, more than anything else, it was just the principle to get you, not to even to have you exactly come out with the one, the overall one, but just for a minute to have people think about the significance of what the whole act of those prayers mean.
Yeah.
And to get to look at the whole thing. So anyway, that's what I was going to say. I think it's more than people coming up with the one is just to get people to think about what.
Alhamdulillah.
Well, thank
you so much. So how's it going out there? So we have an
It's going pretty good. We're flowing. We're flowing, and people are coming out, and it's much more than I think people had thought, but it's moving along good.
Yeah, I expected that too. Inshallah, I'm gonna get out of here and get down there. Tell some folks to throw it up on their Facebook and their Instagram and what have you. Inshallah, I may see you there in a few minutes. Inshallah. As you just heard, we're having a pre-Ramadan food giveaway. We're giving away, really excellent boxes. So I see some 510 numbers here. We have about 200 or so, chickens, fish, fruits, vegetables, staples that are being given away for the pre-Ramadan, alhamdulillah, inshallah, we do that. Those of you who are in line, mashallah, we're not going to take any more comments, regret, but mashallah, we have to put it to it. And I have a couple of announcements to make in the 90 seconds remaining. One is that we're not going to have the wealth creation and preservation broadcast on Mondays because, of course, of the iftar. Inshallah, those of you who are local, you can check in with us at Master Working after 9:30 on Monday to see if there is a hilal sighting, and inshallah we'll have that information noted. And what else is there? I think that's going to be it. So. Inshallah, may Allah bless and accept your prayers and fasting. Thank you so much for continuing with us on the completion of this journey. What the next journey is, we don't know. Allahu alam. But inshallah, whatever it is, we pray that Allah guide us aright. Thank you all. Everybody have a wonderful day and a blessed Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
to be responsible and free.
You'll be so free.